the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation tonight. We had looked into the first five verses of Revelation 8 last week, and we'll begin now to look at the trumpet judgments as they are sounded and as they are then poured out upon the earth. Remember, last week we noted that there was that awesome silence in heaven that I think called attention to the moment, the hour that was upon the earth, and the awesomeness of it and the anticipation of it. Then we saw certain angels that stand before God, and that seems to be their responsibility, just to stand there before God and be responsible to whatever He bids them do. Then we saw another angel, for lack of a better term, we called him the priest angel, who took the censer and offered the incense with the prayers of the saints. We pointed out that likely the prayer that is offered here from the saints is, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." That's pretty well been the cry of the saints down through the ages. Come right on in, folks. Step right at home. We're looking into the book of Revelation, chapter 8. The priest angel would again offer the incense with the prayers of the saints. And I think that probably in every generation there's ever been the saints that have prayed for the coming of the Lord, for that which would give us that opportunity to be in His presence and to be with Him. And the Bible said that the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now the fire for this particular censer, of course, would have to come from another altar. If we believe the Bible to be true, and I do, that which is in heaven is depicted with that which was on or actually on earth is depicted that which is in heaven. And the tabernacle on earth had two altars, a brazen altar, a golden altar, and the golden altar was the altar of incense. Again, typifying the prayers of the saints. The brazen altar is a place of sacrifice, and the fire is the judgment of God's fire, and as it would consume the sacrifice. We notice that this same angel went back then and took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar in verse 5 and cast it into the earth. The Bible said there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. All of these indicating that there was great catastrophic occurrences in the earth because of the censer that was filled with fire being cast into the earth. I remind you again tonight that the same Lord Jesus Christ that will save the soul will also judge the sinner. He is a saver of life unto life to those that believe, but you rest assured that He is a saver of death unto death to those who do not believe. And whenever the same fire and the same judgment of God that would fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ and make our prayers acceptable before God as is cast into the earth also brings great judgment upon a people that are in rebellion against God. And that's the indication that we have in this particular setting, that one day as the censer that is filled with the fire of God's judgment from the brazen altar is cast into the earth, there will be some real catastrophic events that will begin to occur as the judgment of God falls upon this earth. And there, now these seven angels that stand before God were given seven trumpets. And they will begin to sound, and as each one sounds, there is judgment that is falling. They fall into two categories or two particular groups, divisions. There's a group of four trumpets that sound, and then there are three trumpets that sound after one cries, woe, woe, woe. In other words, indicating that the three last judgments or trumpets will be far more severe. And if you please, I suppose, disheartening to the inhabitants of the earth. But we're seeing the Lord as He is the Lamb slain who was worthy to open the book that was sealed, and He's opened now the seventh seal, and things are coming to a fast consummation as far as the retrieving of that which was lost back unto Himself, and the judgments of God are falling upon this earth. So we see these trumpets. We'll look at four of them tonight, make some reference to the things that we see. In verse 6, He said, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up." Certainly we see here now that this is a strike against the green things of this earth that will affect man very drastically. We don't think much about it today. We have the green grass and the livestock is fed and the trees as they do what they are supposed to do. And if you're not aware of it, actually the green trees are assisting us to breathe today as they consume the carbon dioxide from our atmosphere and then produce oxygen. This particular judgment falls upon the green substances of the earth. There is not any indication in this particular verse that these are symbols or anything that is different than reality. Now, I'll show you in a moment where the Bible will give you clues as to a particular symbol or a type or a figure as it's given, but in this particular case, this is literal fire that is follows the hail and is mingled with blood here on the earth. It's a very severe judgment, certainly, as we think about it. Now, this is not foreign to history because in the land of Egypt, remember, we saw much the same type of judgment that fell upon that particular land, and the Bible said there had not been such judgment since Egypt was a nation. So we look to John here as he sees this, and he's seeing a literal hail that falls and fire mingled with blood. And the Bible said again they were cast upon the earth, indicating that this is some of the fire of that censer that is cast into the earth. In other words, this is judgment from the hand of God that is falling upon the earth. And then the second trumpet will sound in verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now we have a strike at the sea. There is what seems to John as a mountain of fire as it is cast into the sea. It is not a literal mountain. I said I'd point out to you, when you find the term such as this, as it were, John is saying, this is what it looked like to me. Not indicating that it was necessarily a mountain of fire, but this is what it looked like when it appeared and it fell into the seas. And, of course, then the seas began to congeal and to take the life of those creatures that were in the sea. There certainly are times that waters become contaminated and polluted, and there is swift destruction to anything that's in the water. Probably I'll not tell this, but it doesn't take a whole lot to affect the creatures that are in water. We were told as a young fellow that if you take green walnuts and beat them up in a tow sack and drag them through the water in the creek above a good hole that the fish would come to the top. Well, naturally, being good farm boys, we tried it. And it will work to some degree. That's all I'm going to say about it. But if a green walnut crush can make a fish thick enough to come to the top, do you see what this does to this particular world? And then as it begins to affect the economy of this world, one of the great cries right now is we have to open the dams in the Northwest so that the salmon can survive, because they're depleting. Well, if you take a third part of the creatures of the sea, as dependent as we are, and some nations more than we are, it will begin to affect this world very drastically, quickly, as the judgment falls. And I'm not telling you what this is because I don't know. John just simply said it was, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire that fell into the sea. Some predict it to be a meteorite. No telling what. I have no idea other than to believe what he said. Then there's a third angel that sounds the third trumpet. He said, the third angel sounded, and there fell a star, or a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Again, the key that this is something that John just simply sees as this. It's not necessarily a reality. It's not a great burning lamp, but it's a star that falls, and it was burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. I was not aware of this until the meteorite made its trek through the skies, and there was some concern about it, I guess, about a year and a half ago now, folks began to speak of it. But this, I think, came rather correctly, that following sometimes a meteorite, there is a tail or a trail, and literally that is arsenic, and it can fall. It would not be surprising to find that there was some poisonous star that made its way, and as it falls, the debris from it does affect the waters of this world. Again, one of the great cries today is we're running out of water. We don't have enough water. Our own cities looking at desalination just to try to provide sufficient water. Well, if we see the water as it is described for us here, the third part of it becomes bitter. Again, there is a great strike, and there's not only physical trauma in this world, but there's economic trauma in this world, and it then is not surprising to find that what the Lord said becomes very evident, that men's heart will fail them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. And so we see then this fire from the brazen altar of God's judgment as it falls upon the earth with the third trumpet. And then the fourth trumpet will sound, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. It's hard to imagine losing a third part of the day, but literally, apparently, there will be a change of our sense of time and how it fits into our economy. This is not daylight saving time. This is a great supernatural phenomenon that is going to really rob this planet of the third part of the sun and the third part of the moon and the third part of the stars. If you look back into God's intent for the heavenly bodies, we are told that the sun was given as light and it was to rule the day. The lesser light, the moon, was given to rule the night. The stars were given for the purpose of carrying out the seasons, and things are going to be greatly disturbed as the judgments of God began to fall. I looked in at verse 13, and this will lead into the following three judgments that we'll not deal with tonight. But it said, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. And whenever you have an emphasis of three in particular, such as we have tonight, then there is certainly a seriousness about that which is to follow that should strike terror to the heart and call attention to the Lord Himself, and folks need to begin to prepare, if you please, to meet their God. And he said these woes were in relation to the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Now, all that we see tonight is serious, and it affects man. But I want you to see that God, even in the midst of His judgment, is merciful. When He struck the earth, the third part of the trees was burned up in all green grass. They say, my, that's serious. Third part of the tree's gone. Well, He left two thirds. God's merciful. You look at the second judgment that falls, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. The mercy of God is there. At least there were two thirds left. And then we see that the third part of the waters in the star that's called Wormwood. And many men did die because of that. But they didn't all die. God left them an opportunity of repentance and faith. And so you see that the Lord is merciful. He doesn't darken the sun completely at this point. He does not remove the moon from its function totally at this point. He's merciful. And still extends, if you please, an opportunity to men that are alive and upon the earth. In the book of Genesis, we are told that God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but his days will be 120 years. Well, when you look at that, and I think if you'll find me correct, if you'll follow it through, the Lord allowed them the 120 years. And the flood would come. But in that space, you'll find an added 10 days beyond the 120 years. Even though God is very exacting in His judgment and will judge, never forget the fact that He is a merciful God and offers grace to sinners even today. Just prior, even I believe, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am persuaded that men still have the opportunity to believe the gospel and to be saved tonight. God is a merciful God and gracious to us. Yet He will judge, for it's His nature, because of His holiness, because of His righteousness. He will not equivocate. He will not mince words with men. He will carry out His word. But thank God, He is still a God of great mercy. All right. Well, we'll stop our study there tonight. And we'll take time to go to the Lord in prayer.